Author and CFO of Bold Movement, Megan Rawlings, wrote in the most recent issue of Christian Standard Magazine, quote, "Although I cannot speak for the masses, in my experience, millennials, those born from 1981 to 1998, and Generation Z, those born 1999 to 2015, are longing to find their identity and purpose. There appears to be a chasm of emptiness which these generations are trying to fill in any way possible that is accessible and available." Now, I believe COVID heightened that problem of that chasm of people searching for their purpose, because I think there were a lot of things that we were really missing out on during that time. We had options, education, all kinds of experiences curtailed. And so let me just begin by saying, if you don't know something's purpose, you're likely to abuse it. If you don't know something's purpose, you're likely to abuse it. If you don't understand the purpose behind the creation of a thing, you're very likely to misuse it and abuse it for some other purpose. I believe there's a reason why some of you must be frustrated with your walk in life, because I think for some of you, you really haven't found your purpose. Maybe you're entering into a different segment of life now. You're transitioning to a different time in life and different segment of life. And it's really tough to find your purpose, because maybe your purpose was always getting up from 6 o'clock in the morning and going to work and coming home, and you had that scheduled down, and you did it for 20 years or you did it for 30 years, and suddenly now you're starting toward thinking of retirement, and suddenly that schedule's changing, and now you're trying to like reimagine your life, and you're still trying to seek a little, what is my purpose? You don't understand it. You're frustrated. It might be the job you're working at, that you work at diligently, and maybe nobody even notices what you do and how you do it. And after a point, you just say, why do I do this? Nobody cares. It might be you're trying to guide your kids or your grandkids, and maybe what they're showing you is rebellion and disrespect. You know, manners is a generation away from being lost. I think we lost it. I know there's exceptions to every rule like that, but you just don't see a lot of respect being shown to elderly now by grandkids and younger kids. It's sort of they just aren't getting taught that. And so you might be working really hard at trying to work with your grandkids, and you might get to a point you might say, what am I doing this for? Why am I knocking myself in the head trying to help them, and they don't appreciate it? Maybe you're fighting for your marriage and your spouse isn't fighting as hard as you, and you get to a point where you say, why am I doing this? Why do I keep on trying when I feel like I'm the only one trying? For some of you, maybe you're trying to serve God, and you're trying to be of service to the kingdom, but you keep on having obstacle after obstacle. I'll help you do such and such, and then something comes up and you can't do it. And then you want to try to help with this, and then something else comes up and you're not able to do that. And you just keep on having these obstacles, and after a while, you're like, is there a reason? Is there a purpose? What is my why? Everybody say the word why together. Ready? One, two, three. One, two, three.
Why?
Now, I want you to say it this time, real softly. Ready? One, two, why? Yeah, you see, it makes a whole different sense when you're asking that way, isn't it? Why? 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 When you want to talk to God, why? And that's kind of where we're at this morning. We're asking that question of why. Why? Let's begin by looking at Scripture in Acts, the 13th chapter, verse 36. Luke touched on speaking about David here. You know David? David was the guy that was after God's own heart. He was David, the killer of Goliath. He eventually became the greatest king of all Israel. It says, now when David had served God's purpose. I love that phrase, because it makes no question about who David was and what his purpose was. When David had served God's purpose, that's the purpose. In his own generation, he fell asleep. It's a nice way of saying he died. He was buried in his ancestors and his body decayed. That's a little gross. You know, we go up, toes up, we decay. We don't like talking about it, but we all have an expiration date stamped on us somewhere. You look for yours when you get home. I don't know where yours is. But we all got an expiration date on us. And however, the first part of this verse is great, though, because David fulfills God's purpose. And this is really fantastic. You can't have a greater purpose than fulfilling God's purpose. You see, friends, the greatest tragedy in life is not death. The greatest tragedy in life is not finding your purpose. You exist wandering around from thing, to place, to people. Worse is not dying. Living without reason, without understanding why, not knowing your purpose. And I would argue that perhaps one of the reasons COVID hit us so hard, or at least shocked us all so much, is that none of us saw it coming. You know, we were told, oh, it's not going to be a big deal. We've only got a couple cases here. It's not a big deal. I'm going to say that our government didn't tell us the truth. Now, that's not a political statement. I'm just saying that from what I've observed. The government didn't tell us the truth. So this came upon us because we were all saying, well, the government's saying we're fine. We're all going to do okay. It's over there. It's not over here. No, it's over here now a little bit, but it's over there over here. Now it's over there over here. Now it's in here. It's here. And we were all just shocked that it happened so quick and so fast. Our life came to a screeching halt. Whatever you were in the middle of, you were in the middle of a class, it stopped. If you were in the middle of a argument, relationship, it stopped. If you were in the middle of some kind of training program, it stopped. If you were in the middle of doing something, construction, it stopped. We knew that here. If you were in the middle of anything major, it stopped. It didn't make a difference where you were, what you wanted, it stopped. And suddenly you were just left to say, what am I doing? What's my purpose? This morning I want to share with you three principles of purpose. And these three principles, I think, are going to really help make it clear to you how we find and maintain our purpose. Maybe the pandemic is waning, and maybe you're learning now that you want to get your purpose back on track. And so maybe these three points will help you do that. I hope so. That's this morning. Okay, your very first is your purpose is not for you. First words of Rick Warren's groundbreaking book, 40 Days of Purpose, says, it's not about you. That's the first lesson. You know, it's the one that we never want to hear because we want everything to be about us. We want everything to be about us. Your purpose is not for you. It's not about you. Your purpose is God's purpose. David, whom Luke just referred to, understood this. When David was running from the King Saul in the Old Testament, and he was running in Psalm 57:2, he said, I cry out to God Most High, to God who vindicates me. You say, to the God who fulfills his purpose in me. And when I find it so cool that David, when he wasn't trying to find his purpose, he understood that his purpose was God's purpose. He wasn't searching for it. He wasn't looking for it. He understood it. David had other issues in life, but his purpose wasn't a problem. He knew that one. And our purpose isn't about us. It's about God. Who better to know us and our purpose than our Creator? In the church, we talk an awful lot about sin. Most people have no idea what sin is. If you were to take a poll on the street, people, just man on the street polls, and you'd ask people about sin, they'd probably tell you, well, sin changes with the ages. It has different styles. It all changes with the culture. Things that used to be sin aren't sin anymore because culture has changed. Doesn't it sound so educated? But sin has never changed from Adam and Eve until today. Sin is exactly the same it was in Adam and Eve's time as it is today. We think we found a few new ways to sin. We really haven't. They've been around a long time. They got new names, new ways, new faces, but it's a lot of the same sins. See, the word sin comes from a Greek word that is actually an archery term. And it would be translated as missing the mark. If you pull an arrow back, I don't know if you watch the Olympics whenever they do the archery stuff, but when they do the archery stuff and they're pulling these bows, you know, these bows cost more than my car that they use, and they pull these bows back and they're holding it, a compound bow, so they have the strength, and they're waiting and they're waiting and they're waiting, and they shoot, and it misses the perfect mark. It's a sin. They call it that still. They call it a sin still because it missed the mark. Those same words, missing the mark, can also be translated as missing the purpose. See, sin is missing the purpose. When we don't know the purpose of a thing, we're likely to misuse it. And so many fall into this category because they don't know the purpose. They're always searching. They're always looking because they don't know. They're looking for some kind of validation. They're looking for some kind of purpose in their life. They're looking for all the wrong places for the things they need in life, and it's really right in front of them. I'll try this job. Maybe this job will make me happy. And I bet you know people like that that bounce from job to job to job to job. And none of them make them happy. I'll try this relationship and see if it meets my needs. And they jump from relationship to relationship to relationship, and they never are happy, and they're never fulfilled, and they can't find their purpose. I'm on this vacation. I know people that I think they take more vacation than they actually work. Or else I don't know how they're retired, or I don't know. But, you know, they go, we have some friends, Linda and I have some friends she worked with the lady, and they're on a cruise once or twice a month. Once or twice a month. And they're always traveling. And you can do all the traveling in the world, but if you're trying to find your purpose, you're going to just be moving around and seeing a lot of sights, because that's not where you're going to find your purpose. Maybe if I dress this way, people will help me to see my purpose. Maybe if I might pierce this. Maybe if I tattoo that. Maybe if I try something outrageous, I'll stand out in the crowd. I'll know my purpose. Maybe if I try this drug. Maybe if I drink this alcohol. Maybe I'll find my purpose. And people search and search and search. And eventually their life is reduced to one big experiment looking for our purpose. We're looking for something, anything, that will bring in the fulfillment because we don't really understand our original intent. We're missing the why behind the reason why God created us. So many times in my life, as I'm a preacher, I've heard people asking, what is my purpose, preacher? Why am I here? I heard a lot of seniors ask me that. I don't understand why I'm here. I'm praying for God to take me home. My Aunt Eunice, bless her heart, she prayed that every day. I'm just praying, Roger, that God would take me home. I said, well, I pray every day you're here, so I'm guessing he's listening to me. I used to do things like that, but Roger. She wanted to be buried in Ohio. And it was real expensive to move her casket to Ohio, so we did some research, and we found out they could give us paperwork, and we could load her in a U-Haul and drive her to Ohio. So my cousin and I flew in from Texas, and we put her in the back of the U-Haul. I'm not kidding. We had the great service. All the visitors were there. Family was there. Debbie was there. Other people were there. Yeah, you were there. And we put her in the back, and we put these ropes all over and tied it up, and she was tied. And I'd always told her, I'd say, Aunt Eunice, you better behave, or on the way to Ohio, I'm going to zigzag all the way. It's going to be boom, boom, boom. And she'd say, Roger. And she would hit me because she knew I loved her to death. And so we tied up that casket and got up there, and we buried her exactly where she wanted to be buried. You see, why did I go on to tell you that? People aren't happy. They're seeking. You know, I see people who think they have it all together. You see them. You see people and you think, wow, they've really got it together. I wish I had it together like them. But underneath that mask they wear, they're just as screwed up as you are. You know, the powerful people, they're just as miserable. The beautiful people, they think they're ugly. The intelligent people are intelligent, but they're ignorant about important things like spirituality and things about God. We have to embrace why and understand our purpose. Your purpose isn't for you. Your purpose is for God's purpose. He created you for His will, for His purpose, and for His glory. Let's look at number two. You don't find God's purpose, you serve God's purpose. People say, well, I'm looking for God's purpose. I want to find God's purpose. I'm going to seek it and find it, and I'm going to have God's purpose. No. Like people say, I'm going to fall in love. Hey, love isn't a ditch you fall into. It's a commitment you make. And sometimes it's hard to keep the commitment, but you keep the commitment. And you'll find yourself after a while, 20, 30, 40, 50 years down the road, having a happy marriage. It doesn't happen because you just accidentally meet the person and stars start lining and bumblebees start singing. You see unicorns and suddenly you're in love and that's the person for me. I know that's just, that didn't happen that way. It just doesn't happen that way. You have to embrace the why to understand your purpose. And until you find your purpose, you will never ever be happy with doing anything. Your purpose isn't for you. Your purpose is for God's purpose. And you don't find it, you serve God's purpose. God's purpose isn't something you stumble across. He wasn't trying to fill a bucket list. Scripture we just read said David served God's purpose. I don't think that word serve was used by accident. They could have put he did God's service, but I think that he did God's will. But instead they said he served God's purpose. And there are lots of examples of this. Back in the Old Testament, Samuel the prophet was looking for the inspiration who would be the new king. Samuel went to the home of Ben-Jesse and looked at the oldest son. Now, his oldest son was a hunk. He was tall, beautiful, good-looking, smart, got a really high score on his ACT, and he's really good. I mean, he had his own camel. This guy had it together. You know, he was a really sharp guy, and he lettered in sports at school. So he was really smart, and dad brought him before Jesse, and Jesse looked him up and down and said, nope, not him. Not him? And so Jesse started bringing his other sons one at a time, and one at a time Samuel would say, nope, not him. Nope, not him. And finally, Jesse said, that's it. Samuel says, don't you have one more son? Well, yeah, I've got him out in the sheep pens. Bring him in. Bring him in. Let me tell you what David was not doing during that time. He wasn't trying to build his resume. He wasn't strategizing about how he could build his brand. He wasn't trying to get noticed. He wasn't trying to get discovered. He wasn't making the perfect TikTok video so everyone could see him and it go viral. What was he doing? He was simply taking care of the sheep. He was serving his purpose, taking care of the sheep. He was doing what God had created him to do. Psalm 78, verse 70 says, He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheep pens. That's where David was. As gently as I can say this, perhaps some of you might be worrying more about being in spotlight than you should, or you should be worried about where are the sheep pens because God needs me to do some work. When God called David, he wasn't seeking a position. He was patiently serving faithfully right where he was. Let me give you another one of David's life real quick. David was bringing lunch to his brothers while they were being threatened by the Philistine giant Goliath. David ended Goliath with 5 smooth stones by the power of God. Why did God choose David, a younger teenage boy? Why did he choose him? He wasn't the biggest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't trained as a soldier. He wasn't leading the army. He wasn't the richest. He wasn't the most powerful. He was a young boy, a teenager, bringing Lunchables to his brothers. He was just a guy who was faithfully doing what God had asked him to do. God chose him for his obedience and his willingness to serve God's purpose. Your purpose is not you. Your purpose is God's purpose. You don't find your purpose, friends. You serve your purpose. And here's number three. If you want to serve God's purpose, start serving God's people. I can't help but think there's some of you, when you hear that, you're thinking, oh, that's so lame. You just want to fill quotas of volunteers. That's all that's about. That's just trying to get people to sign up to do this or do that. And if you want to believe that, you can go ahead. Friends, if you want to serve God's purpose, start serving God's people. If it was not beneath Jesus to serve people when he came to earth, why is it beneath yours? Jesus wasn't seeking fame or fortune. When he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, they were all shouting and they wanted to make him king, and he was riding on the donkey and he was at the peak of his power. If he was looking for being a celebrity status, if he was looking at being special, if he was looking at being recognized by the people, that was the epitome of that time. But Jesus did not take it for that. He got by himself as soon as he could. He went with the disciples to the upper room. He got out of the crowd's sight. That wasn't his purpose. He was there to do God's will. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, not the most important people, not the most famous people, not the most powerful people, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you want to serve God's purpose, start serving God's people. Serve God's people. Get involved in where you are, what you are, with what you have. Don't let the devil win and rob you of your why. Where you're doing what you can right now, you don't do it from the recognition, you don't do it for the attaboy or the attagirl that comes, you just serve where you're at. What does that look like? Picking up groceries for a neighbor, maybe making blankets or quilts for those who have needs, helping an elderly person, get down on your knees and pray for someone who's sick. Become a prayer warrior for someone who's really battling in a health issue. Give a financial gift to someone who's struggling right now. Write notes to shut-ins. Give them to the hospital. Give an anonymous gift to someone who seems really down. And here's the thing. You don't have to launch a nonprofit and start a mission to Africa to do this, friends. I mean, some people get overwhelmed and understand that we're here to serve God, and it's God's creation that's to do this, and you start thinking of these things that are so big, and they're so, God may use you for some great thing, but until then, use you right now with what you got. This pandemic has been tough on all of us. It's not hard to find somebody who has a need. You've had this empty feeling that can be filled when you find your why and fulfill your purpose. When you serve God's people, you'll find a feeling of fulfillment that you hadn't had in a long time. And friends, that's the feeling that your purpose is being located. Your purpose isn't to be rich. It's not to be famous. It's not to write a book, start a business, drive a sports car. Your purpose is being faithful to Jesus today. Faithful to Jesus today. Faithful to Jesus today. You won't get an award for serving. You don't get any discount for your coffee and donut when you come in the morning because it's free. You may not get recognized up front at any time. You probably will go unnoticed by a lot of people, but you will find great satisfaction and fulfillment in knowing that you're serving God's people and thus fulfilling your purpose. And if you don't know and understand your purpose, you might end up misusing and abusing this great gift of life God has given you. We're at the tail end of this crazy pandemic, we hope. There's never been a need greater than right now, and people are finally coming out of their homes. People are coming out, and they are searching for meaning, and they're searching for purpose. I read some things, and people who had never before ever come to a church, gone to a church, are coming out of the pandemic, and they're actually seeking. They're looking for answers. They're looking for people that make them feel welcome because they want to be around other people. They're looking for friendly faces. They're looking for people who can love them unconditionally. Those are all the things you find right here at OCC. And you have the honor of fulfilling your purpose by serving God and His kingdom right here. And you understand why your purpose? You understand the why of it? I can't think of a better day than Palm Sunday to recognize your purpose and begin living this one and only life that God has given you. No do-overs. You start from where you are, and you get a brand fresh new life when you come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we all come from so many backgrounds, and all of us have lived through the pandemic and have struggled through all the things that happened with the pandemic. And right now, Father, this country seems to be just kind of getting up, a sleeping giant, and just kind of waking up and seeing what's going on. And Father, there's so many people with so many needs. You put people before us all the time who have needs and who we could reach to and we could help. Father, help us to realize that's our purpose. Our purpose is to serve others. To serve you, Father, we serve others. Help us to understand that, to get our minds wrapped around that, to put aside the petty things we have in our own lives that right now sometimes are really, when you look at them in the perspective of the greater picture, they're not really all that important. We have the opportunity to change somebody's life. We may not harvest that seed that got planted years ago. We just may be planting a seed. We may be the people who nurture the seed that someone planted. And someone down the road is going to harvest that seed planted of the gospel. Father, use us in whatever capacity you see fit for us. But let us in this day realize you have a plan for us. You have a purpose for us. And that we are called to fulfill our purpose. Help us in this day to understand that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.